for lots of comments already as to we've got a manger. But where's the baby? And not only that, what's that thing above it? This was a last minute thing, by the way. And it's that whole sense of Jesus did not stay as a little baby. He did not stay in a manger. Just like how often I've got a newborn who's about 10 weeks old now. And the amount of times I hear my wife saying, oh, he's lovely, can't he just stay like this? Babies grow up. Babies grow and change. And that's why there is no baby in the manger, but why there is also a crown of thorns above the manger. Because Jesus came and died. He took that crown of thorns. And today, I want to do a brief message looking at this whole area of God in a manger. And it's a great scandal, is God in a manger. Not just a baby in a manger, but God in a manger. Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus is God. Jesus, as God, voluntarily set aside his power, his rights, his glory, in order to step down, in order to come down to earth. Yet, Jesus remained fully God. And all the fullness of God dwelt in him. Philippians 2:5, it says in the Bible, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. For God to enter humanity, it seems outrageous. Let alone for God to be born in a stable to a poor, fleeing from genocide refugee family. And that is what it was. They themselves were fleeing from a genocide. And they fled to Egypt. But there's more. This great scandal, there is more to it. In Matthew's gospel, and we'll throw it up, in Matthew 1, right at the beginning of the New Testament, there's the genealogy of Jesus, you know, those boring bits, you know. But there's so much in that genealogy that adds to this scene of it being a great scandal. Who here has a family tree that they'd rather forget? Jesus' family tree was scandalous. And most would want not to be born if they had the choice into this family. What do we have? Judah with Tamar. Incest. Rahab was a prostitute. Mixed race, which at the time was looked down to in Ruth. Adultery and murder in David with the wife of Uriah, with Bathsheba. The family line of Jesus was scandalous. Finally, in Matthew 1:18, Jesus' own fathering was questionable, with Mary found to be pregnant out of wedlock, which in those days could have led to stoning. And I don't mean, you know, drinking too much here. What's the point of recalling such a sordid past? It's probably to remind us of God's power to work beauty from ashes, to bring redemption from a family to the family that desperately needs it. The genealogy shows us how God became one of us. Emmanuel, which means God with us. It means that all of our stories can also be rewritten in Jesus. Does your story need to be rewritten today? Do you feel that God wouldn't want to get involved with you because of your history? Judah Smith puts it this way: Jesus didn't care about the scandal, he cared about the scandalous. He cares about you and me, no matter of your history. He knows it all. Yet he stretched out his arm and he received you. God in a manger, not in a royal cradle. Why? When the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field to invite them to visit the newborn king, he told them to look for a baby in a manger. The manger wasn't just a sign for the shepherds. It's a sign to all of us that Jesus is accessible to everyone who seeks it. Looking at Luke 2, 8 to 9 and 12 there. The shepherds would not have had access to a baby born in a royal palace. The shepherds also wouldn't even have had access to a baby born in a normal home. The stable was the only place that had an open door, that was accessible to the world. God in a manger means you don't have to be someone to be welcomed by Jesus. But why God in a manger, a feeding trough? In the little town of Bethlehem, which means the house of bread in Hebrew, animals go to the manger for physical food. We go to Jesus, God in a manger, for spiritual bread, for spiritual food. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." That's John 6, 3 through 5. He also said, he is the sustenance, the source of life. He also said that he is the living bread which came down from heaven. In John 6, 51, whoever feeds on him, whoever receives and accepts his word, whoever receives him and the life he brings will live forever. How, as God in a manger, he grew up. He didn't stop as the baby, as we said. He grew up and then he stretched out his arms and he died for us. Perfect life for our broken, sinful, separated life on the cross as our substitute. He then rose again, showing he had the power over death itself. All we need is to receive and accept him into our lives. Question for you: have you had enough of trying to find meaning, trying to find contentment and fulfillment in your life? You know, you don't have to be at the bottom to cry out to God. You can be searching all over the place and never be satisfied. You can be hit the heights and be successful and have everything, and yet still inside, you're not fully happy. There's something missing. And that thing that is missing is Jesus. God in a manger is an amazing sign that Jesus is sustenance for us. He is the source of life for us. The shepherds feasted first, now is our turn. Jesus born on the first Christmas is food for our souls. Our culture shifts the true focus of Christmas to the infancy of Jesus, whereas the true focus of Christmas is actually the deity of Jesus. God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Our culture will sing about the birth of a baby, but will reject Jesus as God come in the flesh. Our culture will sing about his nativity, but will reject his authority. Our culture will adore him as an infant, but will not bow down to him as God. Our culture will embrace the accompanying events of Christmas, the manger, shepherds, wise men, angels, Joseph and Mary, but will not believe that God came in human flesh. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "Who among us will celebrate Christmas correctly? Whoever finally lays down all power, all honour, all reputation, all vanity, all arrogance, all individualism beside the manger. Whoever remains lowly and lets God alone be high. Whoever looks at the child in the manger and sees the glory of God precisely in his loneliness." Today, that's what I want to challenge you to do. To lay us down all power, all honour, all reputation, all vanity, arrogance, pride, all individualism beside the manger. To see the scandal of God in the manger, and respond by bowing our knees and accepting him as Lord, God, and Saviour. Not just as a little child in the manger. Not just as a Saviour who died on a cross, but as Lord and God. To see the scandal that it is only he who can rewrite our story, the one who humbled himself to welcome us, and the one who will sustain us, and through his death, give us life. Let's pray. I just encourage each one of us today to think about this Christmas. Who is Jesus? Jesus once said to Peter, "Who do people say I am?" And we can come out with lots of things of what other people say Jesus is. A prophet, a good man, a fictional character, the list goes on. But then Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Who do you say I am?" And that's the question I want to ask each one of us today. Who do you say Jesus is? Peter's response was, "You are the Messiah, the chosen one, the Son of the Most High God, God Himself." So, dear Lord, we just come before you now. I just invite your Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, just move in this place. Touch each person here now. Just help us to be able to humble ourselves enough to get over our pride, to accept you as Lord and as Saviour. And we're sorry, God, for when our pride gets in the way, when our rights and our individualism gets in the way. We're sorry. We're sorry for not recognizing you as God seated on the throne. We're sorry when we just see you as a baby, when we see you as a story. Help us this Christmas to place you back of on the throne of our lives and to put you on the throne of our lives as we've never done it before. We want to accept you as Lord and Saviour today. As God in the manger. And just fill us with your Spirit so that we may know your love and know your voice.